of the laws of perfection. And I don't feel I did a good job last time, so I'm going to be doing some review before I really go to the new material. And then next week will be, I believe, the last one in the series that I'm going to teach, which I'm going to really have some new stuff that the Lord's been showing me. Amen. You know, the Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved. So that when people ask us things, we can defend what it is we believe. Amen. And that's one of the reasons why we study. That's why Jesus taught his disciples, so that they could share with others. Amen. So I'm just so grateful for all that God has done, his mercy and his grace. And I'm looking forward to getting all of our roofing done. I talked to the contractor today, and he was anxious to start. So we'll see how that proceeds. He's going to have to come again, and because it's been several months since he gave us the first estimate. So hopefully it hasn't changed too much. And also the heating people and electrical. So, but anyway, let's start our study tonight. And I call this one the light of the world. And next week you'll kind of see why. And it's sad that more people are not here because they would learn something. And one of these Sundays, at second service, I'm going to preach a completely different message. I kind of let the cat out of the bag last night and showed Sister Joanne what I had in mind. But I'm going to preach a different message when I get a crowd here the next time. It'll be a few weeks before I get to that. But I want to illustrate something. But let's go from the beginning. And I want to try and get everything across. I'm going to tell this more in a story, which is what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible doesn't start out trying to explain where God comes from. Doesn't try to analyze it. Just says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that word created is the Hebrew word bara, and it has two meanings. It means either choose or create, and creation out of nothing. So the next verse says that the earth was formless and void. And the reason was that all God had done was form the matter. But there were no laws. And when you have no laws, what do you have? Chaos. Chaos. So that's what happened. Because there were no laws, the universe was in chaos. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And as you know, when God says, the only outcome is, and it was so. And it was so. So every time God said, let there be, that created a law. That created a force. And it was so. So let's just review, and I'm going to go fairly fast over some of the things we studied last week, but just to make sure. So when it was all finished, perfection was achieved. Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. This includes Satan. One of the fallacies that people teach is that Satan had fallen, that he was already Lucifer. But no, Satan, he was actually at this time still Lucifer. He had not fallen, because God says explicitly at the end of the sixth day, everything, that makes no exceptions, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You ever wonder why God started with the evening and the morning? You know, we would start with the morning to the evening, but we're going to look at that a little bit later. And as I said last week, that meant that every law that God had created had achieved what he created it to do. There were the physical laws. There were the biological laws. And of course, there were some spiritual laws that God spoke. At the end of the sixth day, the forces that were created when God said, let there be, had no more work to do. Because everything now was in order. Instead of being formless and void, everything was in order. The physical, the biological, and the spiritual. But that doesn't mean that the laws had ceased to exist. It's just that there, at that time, there was nothing for them to do. The universe was perfectly in balance. And the formlessness and void that was at the beginning was gone. Instead, all there was a harmonious perfection. You know, you go outside and you see pictures, or on Facebook, I've got a couple friends that are in Jamaica, and they're taking all these pictures of being at the beach and with these palm trees and the brilliant turquoise green sea, and they just keep putting that on Facebook, and all I can do is like, because I'd like to be there. But that is still far from what God originally created. I can't imagine what the earth was like when he created it. You know, they got this beautiful, beautiful white sand beach, and they're just having a great time. And the person who's gone, his brother was my best man, and they're in Jamaica right now. So the universe was in harmony. It was in perfection. So the question is, and last week I didn't explain or try to, how did the laws that God created achieve perfection? Well, the laws themselves can't create. Only God creates. But what they do, and I explained it in the analogy of the white blood cells, is they destroy, they remove, they eradicate things that are harmful. So the laws that God created did not do any more creation, but they perfected what God had already done. So I gave the example the last time of maple syrup. When they make maple syrup, they collect about 40 gallons of the stuff to make 1 gallon of the finished thing. How do they get from the 40 to the 1 gallon? Does anyone know how they make maple syrup? They boil it. So the sap is boiled down. So in that same way, the laws that God created remove anything that is imperfect. And they purify. They didn't create the maple syrup, but the maple syrup is in there. But by boiling it down and removing and cooking it, you get rid of all the impurities. And at the end, what you have is pure maple syrup. So the laws that God created, that's how they work. They were there to make sure nothing imperfect was in his universe. So the physical law, as I said, ruled over matter, physical things, chairs, rocks, sand, anything that was physical, stones, matter. Genesis 1:3 says, and God said, let there be light. When God said that, he was not creating the moon and the stars. What he was creating was all the forces of nature that set the physical laws. There are forces that hold the atom together. In fact, what it really means in this case is order. That's why it says evening to morning. In the Jewish, in Hebrew, the word for evening is boker, and the word for morning is erev. And it really means going from darkness to light. In other words, every time God said that there be, we were going from disorder to order. And that's why it starts off evening to morning, because we were going from boker to erev, which means order. So the biological laws that God created ruled over the physical life, anything that was alive, trees, plants, birds. And God said, Genesis 1:24, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. That's why you can't get a rattlesnake from a donkey. Won't happen unless someone is genetically messing with it. Do you know that 200 years ago, how many breeds of dogs were there? That's right. There was only about 4 breeds of dogs. All the different breeds you've seen today is because man has been messing with it, breeding. But left to themselves, they'd go back to being after his kind. So God made a biological law. Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the field. So the biological law made sure there weren't any things like viruses, bacteria, anything that was harmful. There was perfection. And of course, the spiritual law ruled over spirits, souls. And any intelligent being, that means it included angels, it included anything that was intelligent that God had created. So the spiritual law really could only take effect or have dominion when that was a spirit. So you understand that the spiritual law really only has effect then when we, if it only rules over spirits, when do we become a spirit? Well, but also when we die. When we die, what happens? This body no longer can be the home for our soul. That's when the spiritual law has dominion. There is nothing physical left for the physical or the biological to rule over. So that's when the spiritual law has dominion. And in fact, God says, so behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. And because I had said last week that man had been given a covering, I just want to go over that a little bit. So before man sinned, the covering made him part of the body. I gave the illustration of cells in the body, and you have hundreds of trillions of cells, and they all work in harmony because they all belong to the body. And the centuries, the white blood cell, when it comes across a cell, it can tell from the covering that it belongs to the body. So God gave everything that he created a spiritual covering. Man was in perfection. Therefore, the forces of imperfection, the laws, could not operate against man because he was recognized as being perfect, as being part of the body. And even Satan, too, was created in perfection. The Bible tells us that in Ezekiel 28:15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So Satan, too, was created in perfection. Did you have a... Well, I believe it. In this case, it actually means perfect. Remember what I said, that God cannot actually make anything less than his best. He had created everything to the best that could be possible, including every being that he created. But he gave them dominion. See, but we found that the man, of course, had fallen. We went into all of that on the first one, the knowledge of good and evil. And so the spirit covering had died because God said, the day thou eatest thereof, you're going to die. And so the problem that God had now was that the sons and daughters he had created had lost their covering. And so what was going to happen now was that the forces, the let there be, the forces of perfection were going to kill them. Man was going to die. He told him, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The forces and the laws of perfection, just like the white blood cell, when it comes across even a cell that belongs to your body, if the covering has been damaged, it doesn't recognize it. And it swallows it up for destruction. So the laws God had created to keep the universe perfect were the very laws now were going to kill an imperfect man who had fallen. And so God had a problem. So the spirit covering, though, that God had given was the interface, the connection between God and man. The Bible says those that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. It was a gift, but it was maintained by obedience and faith. The moment Eve started to have faith in someone else's words, the covering started to go. And that's when the unfiltered stuff started to come through, and she saw and was tempted. And really, the covering was really literally the word of God. We went through all of that in our first lesson. And it is what enabled man to be perfect and actually gave man the ability for eternal life. It protected man from the laws of perfection because they recognized it as being part of the body. And as I said last week, so then why could not God just speak a word and put it all back to zero? Why couldn't he do that? That's right. Let's look at this. And I'm doing some review here. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. Let me turn this light up so you can see. And over every creeping thing. That means everything. Anything that was on earth, God gave man dominion. Everything. And the reason why he could not just now change it, he says in Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. So God had to find another way to save his children. So remember, as I said last week, again, this is still review, dominion of the reproductive process, because he had said, be fruitful and multiply. So God gave man dominion, not just over the earthly creation, but also over the reproductive process, because the biological law states that God made everything to reproduce after his kind, after his kind. And so God had given man the dominion even over the reproductive process. So Adam, as I said, was created a son of God. Luke chapter 3, verse 38 tells us that, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam. And that's where it stops. Which was the son of... Isn't it great? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your genealogy changes. If they were writing your genealogy, it would go backwards and it would end up with, which is the son of God. Isn't that... I don't know what that does for you, but just that thought that we could be called son of God. Amen. So man was given sovereignty over the creation of the sons of God, because the scripture tells us that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. So what was God's original plan if man had not sinned? Well, he would have been able to have exactly like himself. He would have been able to birth a son of God. Hebrews 2:10 shows us that Jesus, the second son of God, came to do the same thing which Adam failed: multiply, be fruitful. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So that spirit covering died. But what if they had not sinned? If Adam and Eve would have birthed sons of God, not sons of men, they would have been able, since God had given them the power to do it, to give a spirit covering. Now, as I said before, the soul still came from God, but they would have been able to have a son of God. But instead, in Genesis chapter, 5, we see it says, Adam had a son in his own image, but it wasn't a son of God. It was a son of man. So, again, God transferred the sovereignty of procreation to man, and this included the power of procreating the spirit, but the soul still comes from God. But the procreation mechanism, creating the vessel, the body, and its spirit covering, were legally deeded to man. But we see that because of sin now, man lost that covering. And we went from a spirit, body, and soul to just a body and soul. Sin collapsed the covering, and man went from Adam, son of God, to Enosh. In chapter 5 is the first time it uses a different word for man. Instead of Adam, son of God, it uses Enosh, which means mortal man, mortal man. So man went from being just a son of God to Seth being son of Enosh, mortal man, subject to death. So Adam had a son in his image and likeness. So let's look at what the covering was in more detail and the fact that it was necessary. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit." That tells us immediately that the covering that we should have had, that Adam had, was the spirit of God. The covering was the Shekinah glory. Jesus revealed that on the Mount of Transfiguration. So we see that according to Acts, when the Holy Spirit came, it came back first visually as a light. If you ever take a match and light it, and try and see if it has a shadow. A pure burning match won't have a shadow. You'll see the match, but no flame. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon them." And was. And in Matthew 17, verse 2, Jesus reveals what a son of God really like, because the veil of the flesh was shielding it, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. Now in Hebrew, and this I'll get into this more next week, the word for light, anyone remember what the word for light is? I've taught it before. Right, O-R-E. O-R-E. But to prove that what I'm saying is true, the Hebrew word for skin, which is a covering, is also O-R-E. The covering was the Shekinah glory, it was light. Revelation 3:17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." See, we still need the covering. In Revelation 3:17, speaking to the Laodicean church, he says, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable. There's just tons of churches teaching that says you don't need the Holy Spirit, or you don't have to have any manifestation. Just touch the TV screen and say, I believe, and immediately receive it. You know, I don't think that's how it works. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable? No, they don't, because they've been told that's how they receive it. But you are poor and blind and naked. Without God's Spirit, we are naked. And we absolutely have to have God's covering Spirit. Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This tells you that it is possible to lose your covering. It says, keepeth his garments. If we deliberately, the Bible says, if we crucify Christ again, deliberately put him into an open shame, the Bible says there remaineth no more what? No more sacrifice for sin. So there is a sin that we can do, the Bible speaks about it, that will not be forgiven, that Jesus said, not in this age or the age to come. But it's not easy to commit that sin. I'm so grateful. So we need that spiritual covering, and that's why Jesus came, to manifest the sonship, to show us what a son of God was really like. But as I said before, God created every single creature with a covering, just like the cells in the body. Every single cell has to have that covering, or else it's going to be destroyed. So that includes the angels. Now, you'll notice in the Bible that every time an angel is seen on earth now, what do they look like? Person. So they don't have wings. Look at it, and look at every single instance of an angel. In fact, Paul said, some have entertained angels unawares. Now, if you see a guy with a big set of wings, you're not going to make a mistake and not know that's an angel. So what does that tell us? That in the Bible, when it's speaking about wings, it's symbolic. And I'm going to show you that. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. The twain, he covered his face. So it tells us he wasn't using the wings to fly. And with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So what that's really telling us is that the wings are symbolic. Angels don't actually need wings to go from place to place. Did you know that? They can just show up. They can just show up. So in the scripture, wings is really a symbol for a spirit covering. So what I'm showing is that all creation, every created being was created with a covering, or else they're not part of the creation. They're not part of the creation. That's the only way they can come be part of the universal body. In fact, God himself makes this plain in Psalms 91:4, he shall cover thee with his feathers. Now, God is not a chicken, right? So obviously, this is a spiritual symbolism. When it says he shall cover thee with his feathers, a spirit does not have wings. This is showing that feathers and wings is a symbol for covering. Under his wings. The Hebrew word for wings is kanaf, and it also means covering. That's what it's really telling us. You remember when Ruth was told to go and sit at the feet of Boaz? And Naomi told her, when you get there, take the hem of his garment and cover. You see, that was the symbol of being under protection. So when you see wings in the Bible, it is the sign of the covering. Yes, angels may incidentally have wings, but that's not the true purpose. That's why you see of the six wings of the seraphim, only two of them were being used to fly. The others was the only way they could come directly into God's presence is they had to have a spiritual covering, or else the spiritual law would also destroy them. So remember now, God had a problem. Man was going to die that very day. man was about to die that very day. The spirit covering had gone, which was the thing that made him immortal. And so God had to do something. So he gave us a temporary covering. Genesis 3:21, "And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." And in so doing so, there were two coverings. Because to make a coat of skin, although it's not explicit, it means an animal gave its life. Right? You can't get the skin off an animal unless you do what? Kill it. So there were two things. Because there were two things that needed covering. Man had become just what? A body and a soul. The skin was for the body. The blood was for the soul. That was what we are told in Leviticus 17. The blood have I given as an atonement, a covering for your soul. And that was when God instituted the blood sacrifice, the animal sacrifice, because an innocent animal gave a temporary covering so that the spiritual law would not kill them instantly. God could not create a new spiritual covering because he had already given his word. He rested on the seventh day. But he could form out of what was originally already created. He could take what was already created without breaking his word. So he could form, which is yatzah, or he could make out of anything existing. But he could not make something brand new. He could not make a spiritual covering. And as I said last week, that only left him one choice. He had to bring it himself. So the revelation was God had to suspend the laws of perfection so as to allow man to live more than the one day. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Remember I said that the physical ruled over matter. So when God said cursed, he is going against his law of perfection. And so immediately the universe again started to run down, as I said last week. So God freezes the physical law of perfection. Otherwise man would have died, body, soul, and spirit that very day. And then he freezes the biological law because now he speaks to that what's going to happen is thorns and thistles are going to start appear. Why? Because the biological law has been frozen. So bacteria is going to appear. All kinds of stuff that never existed was going to appear. Those things did not exist in Genesis 1:31 because God said everything was very good. God freezes the biological law. And he did it for our sake. Because if not, we would have died body, soul, and spirit that very day. Now, we were still going to die now, but it was going to be because of imperfection. Because there was nothing now stopping diseases. Nothing now stopping disasters. Nothing now stopping all the things that were going to happen. But at least it wouldn't be that very day. So death would now come through, in fact, the lack of perfection. So we're going to now live at least long enough so that eventually, down thousands of years, could come a Savior. Well, it would be, let me see what would be a good analogy. No, it would be like giving a covering, because the blood cell, the white blood cells, as soon as they see something that is not of the body, they destroy it. So it'd be like giving, actually what they do in a transplant, when they do a transplant, they have to give what they call suppressant drugs so as to stop the body rejecting the transplant. So in a way, what God did was give us a suppressant, so to speak, to stop the white blood cells or the laws of perfection from destroying us. But it's not permanent. You know what they have to do then? Once you have a transplant, a heart transplant or anything from someone else, do you know that you have to take those drugs the rest of your life? That's exactly what happened. When God instituted the blood sacrifice, that had to keep on going until there was another way. Do you see that? It was the thing that stopped man completely being destroyed. Just as how when they do a transplant, from that point on, that person has to take the drugs to suppress the white blood cells or that transplant is destroyed. Until the time of the redemption of the body. See, that cannot be fixed Because what's being transplanted is not the same, and the body rejects it. And so from the time of the law, man had to keep on doing that until the redemption of the body, which is coming. Romans 8:21, I explained that God didn't really want to do this, and we didn't want to do it. Adam didn't want to die. But the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Because he froze the laws, the universe started to get corrupt. Things started, thorns and thistles. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now when Paul wrote that, that was after the Holy Ghost had been given. That's to Romans. So we are still in the period of groaning because we're still waiting for the last part of this great plan, redemption of this body. But now, instead of the temporary sacrifices, as my wife said, where they have to keep doing it every year, every day. In fact, Israel, they had to have a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. 700 odd lambs without blemish every year gave their life so that the soul could be preserved until Jesus came. Every year, no matter what, the morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice. Because he said, I've given you the blood as an atonement for the soul. Now we've studied many studies on the offerings, the five offerings. And you'll find that for the guilt offering, the skin, anyone remember? The skin was given to the priest. See, there are two coverings we needed, temporary coverings. One for the soul, one for the body. The fig leaves didn't do anything about the guilt. It only covered the body. And so they were still hiding. They were still hiding. They were still afraid. It was only when God gave them the covering, which was the blood, an innocent animal died, was the temporary sacrifice enough. All right. That was all review. That was just to make sure everybody understood where we had been. Go ahead. The full price for the blood was the full price was enough, but we're still waiting for the redemption of the body. That's why it says your soul is sealed. Because the blood, his blood is a covering for that, but we still need the change for this body because there's two parts. Okay. All right, that was all review. Now I'm going to actually start the lesson. But I wanted to go over that more slowly because I don't know if I did a good job last week. Now this lesson is really kind of two parts. John 8:12. You know, Jesus used to say some strange things. And we read it and we think we know what it means. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we probably think we've got that and it just means something good. Well, let's look what we're going to study tonight. Lucifer's gamble to escape destruction. So far we've focused on Adam and Eve, but we got this character out there, Lucifer. What's happening to him? If these laws of perfection are there, why don't get rid of him? And why did God not destroy Lucifer immediately too? And this one really will be for next week. The light you can touch but not see. Amen. Okay, so let's start with Lucifer. Obviously, before he made Adam and Eve sin, he must have sinned. Because he obviously came with the intent. He'd already got a plan. The question is, what was his intent? What did he expect to happen? Why did he do what he did? Well, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And it tells us something. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And Lucifer is Latin for light bearer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? So that verse is prophetic. That has not actually happened yet. That verse is not fulfilled till Revelation chapter 12 when it says he's thrown out of heaven. There was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought the devil and his angels and there was no more room. And then he is cast down. But the reason has been a long time in coming. For thou hast said in thine heart, and this is when Lucifer sinned. The Bible says he was lifted up in pride. And that's why next week I'm going to teach about, and it's a lesson I've taught before, but I'm going to put a lot of new stuff in it. And it, some of you remember it. It says, who told you you were naked? The only way you can know you're naked is because you're doing what? You're looking at yourself. That's it. That's the only way you know you're naked, is that you're looking at yourself. Same thing with pride. Pride comes from looking at yourself, your abilities, your beauty. And he certainly was a beautiful creature. Absolutely, and that's the key. Look at this. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. You contrast that with Jesus, which said, not my will. So the five I wills was when Satan sinned. This was when he sinned, when he claimed something or wanted something that was not for him. That was not for him. So now that he's sinned, he's got a problem. Because, as I said, he was created with a covering. He was created with a covering. And the Bible first introduces us to Satan in Genesis 3:1. It says, now the serpent, and that word in the Hebrew is nakash, and it's translated serpent, but really, as an adjective, it's really describing something. And nakash as an adjective means bright and shining. Now the serpent, in other words, the bright and shining one, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And you know, this is amazing because we've read that so many times, and the usual translation is, it means he was sneaky. He was smarter than anything else God had created. But God just gave me revelation. I was listening to a Jewish rabbi, and they weren't talking really about Satan per se, but they were telling me, they were talking about the word that's used in Hebrew, and it's Aroum, A-R-O-W-M, transliterated from the Hebrew. And it has two meanings. One of them is subtle, or sneaky, clever. But the other one is amazing. So, subtle, it's translated from the Hebrew word Aram, with four Hebrew letters, Ein, Resh, Vav, and M, or Mem. But it also has this meaning, naked. And this was a breakthrough when the Lord showed me this, because you put naked in there, and then things start to make sense. Now, the serpent was more naked. Why was he more naked? Because he had sinned and lost his covering. Now the serpent was more naked. But of course, you know, the translators, that wouldn't make any sense to them. So they translated it subtle. But I really believe that the proper translation should have been naked, because he also had sinned and lost his covering. Now the serpent, now I'm going to read it in the way I think it should be. Now the serpent was more naked, because he was the first one to lose his covering, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. See, we are told that he had a covering. Thou hast been in the garden, been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, was past tense, was thy covering. And it goes on to describe the beauty of the covering, the spiritual covering. And there are 9 stones there. In the Septuagint version, it gives all 12. That's the same 12 stones that is on the breastplate of the high priest. Was thy covering? Past tense. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So he lost his covering. That's why in Genesis 3, it should be translated now, the serpent, the bright and shining one, was more naked. Now, remember the laws, the three laws, physical, biological, and spiritual. So the one that was most dangerous to him would be which one? Spiritual, because he was a spirit being. So he could no longer operate the way he would like in the spirit realm. He had to be more physical. All right, you're taking away my lesson here. I'm glad you remembered it. So now we get to the motive behind what Satan, Lucifer, had in mind. He knew that the laws of perfection, now that he had lost his spiritual covering, were going to do what to him? Destroy him. How could he get out of this? Now we get to a motive for why he said what he said to Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us that he had a covering. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, is what is translated. But that can also be translated, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth yourself. That means he had a covering. It describes it in terms of precious stones, the spirit covering that he had. Every precious stone was thy covering. In Jude, it describes the angels that followed him. It said they disrobed, they left their covering, their habitation in the book of Jude. Left their covering so that they could come down to earth. They left the spirit because they couldn't stay that way very long. And we see what happens immediately. Now, I said in the analogy of the body that there's a place in the body where the dead cells are taken for destruction. Anyone remember? And they get swollen and hot, and that's how they know you've got the lymph node. The lymph node is the hell of the body. That's where the white blood cells take the damaged and diseased cells, and they break it down, and then it's sent from there into your intestine and purged from the body. So the laws of perfection, as I said, it was just like the maple syrup. Fire destroys. So remember now, hell was nowhere in sight. There was no such place as hell in Genesis 1. Now we begin to see what happens when Satan lost his covering. Now there was imperfection in God's universe. And he is a spirit being, so the spiritual law is going to take action against him. Revelation 9:11. And they had a king over them, which was the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Does anyone remember what Abaddon means? Destruction. And it's amazing how you can see how the Bible takes a part here and puts it and gives us little clues. So the name was Abaddon, which means destruction. Look at this, Job 26, verse 6. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. What's Abaddon mean? So if we put that in there, the name of the king, hell is naked before him, and Abaddon, Satan, has lost his covering, hath no covering. And then the Bible says that the spiritual law created hell. Let's look at this. So, as I said, how could he avoid? Let me go back. I'll get to the scripture where it shows the actual creation of hell. But now, remember now, he's got a problem. He can't no longer stay in the spirit realm very long because he's going to also be destroyed. So he has to come up with a way to have God stop the physical, the laws. Well, he knows God loves his children so much that although God told them, if you do this, you're going to die, he's betting and believing that God won't let it happen. And he was right. Now you get the motive for why he said, you shall not surely die. But let's go back a bit. So how is he going to avoid the forces of perfection? Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. It's fall of Satan. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. Creation of hell. That was the spiritual law starting to act because he had lost his covering. And it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men, all them that behold thee. That is a prophecy for the end of Satan. But it starts with, I will bring forth a fire. The Bible in Matthew says that hell was created for whom? The devil and his angels. And so he could not stay in the spiritual realm too long because of the destruction that was coming. So the only way he can avoid destruction is to use the human race as a shield. And the only way to do that is if he can get God's children to commit a sin, to lose their covering, then the same forces that are aimed at him will be aimed at them. And he's betting, hoping, God isn't going to allow it to happen. That's right, because he can't stay. That's why in Matthew, I believe, Jesus said that the spirit, they go into dry places and they want to get back into an empty house. They can't do much disembodied. It's the spirit that worketh in the children of, he also wants a house. He needs a covering. And even though this one was going to be a temporary covering, do you see what his plot was? He thought he was going to be able to get the immortal bodies. That's why God had to say, oh no, I'm going to turn them into dust. The curse to the serpent was, thus thou shalt eat all of thy days, on thy belly shalt thou go. And so then the dust that he's eating is this dust, the body that he had hoped to get as a second covering, immortal and beautiful and glorious. I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. So Satan now had to come up with a way to stop himself being destroyed. The only way he could do this was to get Adam and Eve to sin, to lose their covering. Then they would be in the same situation as him. And so that's how the plan went. Get the forces aimed at God's children. Somebody's got Siri going. Okay. So what does he say to Eve? You will not surely die. He believed God loved Adam and Eve so much that although they should have died, God would come up with a way to stop. And the way God came up with it gave him the relief and the window he needed. He had one place where he can stay for now without getting totally destroyed. Guess where it is? Planet Earth. Because remember what I said, God froze the physical and the biological, but he didn't freeze the spiritual. If he had done that, Satan would have got away scot-free. But that means, though, that there is a place here where he can get away with things for a while. So what was he thinking? He had a plan when he came to Adam and Eve. He had a motive. Did he not know what would happen if they listened to him? What was he wanting to happen? Well, I'm telling you what I think he wanted to happen. He wanted them to be in the same shape as he, lose their covering, and then believe that God was going to have to step in to save him. Do you know he's doing the same thing right now? He's hiding behind the human race. That's the whole purpose for the rapture. God is going to remove his children. So in the bowl judgments, the wrath of God will be poured out upon this earth without measure. The very place he's been hiding. Do you remember the parable that Jesus said in Matthew 13? Let the tares and the wheat grow together. Because if you try pulling them up now, you're going to damage some wheat. See, God has got this all schemed out. As smart as Satan thinks he is, he's already defeated. But now he's just mad, and he's wanting to take as many people with him as he can. So he did not believe that God would do it. You will not surely die, and the reason is because of God's mercy. Because of God's mercy, we are not consumed. Isn't that what the scripture says? Because of God's mercy, we are not consumed. It was God's mercy because he loved John 3:16. God so loved the world, he had to come up with a plan. And yet not let Satan get away with it. So he had to come and give the only covering that could be done without breaking his word. So that's why he wanted God to stop the forces that he has created so that the whole universe now groaneth and travaileth in pain, to wit, waiting for the redemption. God did not do this willingly, but it was his only way of threading the needle, so to speak, not letting man die, but not letting man live long enough to be used to the fullest, because that's what Satan needs, is another body. That's why you're going to see, I predict, cloning to a huge extent. Because when that abyss, when this hell is opened, there's billions of demons that are going to be looking for a body. There's just not going to be enough bodies. If one man can have 6,000, you can tell there's a crowding problem in hell. So God suspended the two laws that gave Satan a little bit of breathing room, and that's why he's on earth. Because those laws, physical and the biological, was a way that he could hang around for a while. But God did not suspend the spiritual, and that's why he instituted the animal sacrifice. Because at the time when the body is no longer there to house the soul, there needed to be a covering to protect it. And that was the blood. I have given you the blood upon the altar as an atonement, a covering for your soul. And God did this for our sakes. Scripture says it's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. We don't really appreciate truly how much God loves us. I don't think. We really don't. We hear about God's love. But if we could understand what it cost a perfect being to see his creation go through so much, can you imagine how much pain God must be in to look at the world today? How far it is from what he created? That man's inhumanity to man, just the viciousness of what people are doing to other people, torture, rape, murder. That's what it cost God. That's what it cost God, so that some would come to know him. Someone would cry out and say, Jesus, save me. He did it for our sakes. So God's mercy for two stops the destruction of three. Satan also escaped a little bit. But he did not suspend the spiritual law. And enmity begins. And I will put enmity, a state of war, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He's had some success. He's had some success. He's been able to tear up God's creation, deceive millions of people, bring a lot of people into bondage, heroin, cocaine. That woman the other day, she drove into a crowd, killed four people. They believe it's some kind of mental illness. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So now, from now on, there would be enmity between Satan and the woman, because his seed and her seed. See, that was the trouble now. There's no covering. And so men now have tried to find a covering to fulfill what they've lost. And cover with a spirit, but not of my spirit. Cover with something, but not of my spirit. And that I've put the Hebrew word there. When I put this on the website, you can go and study all the details. Look at this, Numbers 19:15. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. God gave all of these little breadcrumbs in the law to show us our state without the Holy Spirit. Without that covering, we're unclean. Without God's Holy Spirit, we're open to Satan and his devices. In the model of the tabernacle was covered. Remember, the tabernacle represented the body, soul, and the spirit. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Zion, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, he called Moses up, symbolizing the rapture. Right now, we are under the covering, if you have the Holy Spirit, of the cloud. We're in the 6,000th year. And then the Bible says in Exodus, there was a trumpet and a loud voice, and he called Moses up. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Again, here's another thing. But they shall not go to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot come before God. We can't approach. In the Old Testament, nobody could come before God without a covering. And that covering had to be blood. That's why on the Day of Atonement, the priest finally went in with the blood and he sprinkled it on that altar that only usually has incense, the golden altar. Then he would take the coals and the incense and the blood from the goat and I think fearfully go behind that veil to offer the blood covering. That's why people who say you don't need the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is just touch the TV and say, I believe, with no sign. Satan is so good at deceiving people. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. So finally, after thousands of years, the promise is fulfilled. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of the woman. Now that shows you the dominion of reproduction. Do you see what it says? Didn't say made of God. That shows the humanity of Christ. But it was the holy thing that was going to move over you, Mary, that thing that is conceived shall be called the Son of God. But the flesh, the dominion of reproduction, was made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. That's me and you that were under the law. Because we all had lost our covering. Why? So that when he died, and he said, it is finished, into thy hands, Father, commend I my spirit, that we could receive the adoption of sons. In him was life, and that life was the light. What I'm trying to tell you is that the light is the covering. Because it was the covering that made man immortal. It was that covering of light, the Shekinah glory, that died, that God took away. The Lord is my light, my covering, in other words. And because of that, my salvation. Amen. Amen. Not only that, I didn't put it in here, maybe next week, but he said you have to work while day, because there's coming a time when no man can work anymore because it'll be night. I think that is during the tribulation. The Lord is my light. In other words, my covering and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. See, the light and life. In fact, and I don't want to put too much from next week, but Jesus said, the Father has life in himself. Think about that. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? In Job it says, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Job was saying, listen, even if I die, I believe in the resurrection. He went on to say, one day I shall see him for myself. I shall see him for myself. You see, God had a plan. Genesis 2:2. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And that's why he had to come. That's why in the garden said, Jesus said, is it possible some other way? There was no other way. That cell that has the antigen, the ability to resist the disease, that cell has to die in order to spread immunity to the rest of the body. That's how it works. That's how you gain immunity. One of your cells will be able to withstand the bacteria. Well, the way the body gets immunity is that cell actually multiplies in itself and it spreads all of the antigens, the biological molecule that gives protection to the rest of the body. Jesus had to come and die on a cross. This explains why Jesus had to die. Only he could have done it because we didn't have a covering. And that's why he said, into thy hands, Father, commend I my spirit. And he said, it is finished. Amen. God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all. God is so smart. Satan thought he had him because he'd given his word. So, okay, I've got this worked out. He can't do no more creating, so he won't be able. The only way he can fix his children is he's going to have to stop these forces from destroying them. And in so doing, I get away too. But in Revelation, chapter, I think, 4, John says, there was no man found worthy. We couldn't have done it. But an elder came to me and said, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Rested from all his... You know, the Bible says that from the foundation, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had a plan from the beginning. It wasn't what he wanted. The best plan would have been if Adam and Eve had just obeyed. It was not his will. He came to Jerusalem and wept. It wasn't fake tears. He wept because they did not know the time of their visitation. He could see 40 years in the future when the Romans would come and slaughter almost 1 million Jews and tear down whole forests making crosses, line the roads for miles with people being crucified. He could see all of that in the future, and they did not know the time of their visitation. We don't really appreciate what God has done for us. That's why the Bible says that if you keep on going in the wrong direction, you can put him to the cross again, and then there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin because you have done despite unto the Holy Spirit. God could not do any more than he has done. Hebrews 2:9. Galatians says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. And then just a little bit, about 2 weeks before the crucifixion, he showed them what a son of God really, truly is like. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, because a son of God is actually much higher than the angels. Are not all his, Hebrews says, are not all his angels ministering spirits sent forth to those who shall be the heirs of salvation? See, that's why Satan didn't like that. He didn't want to be our nursemaid and servant. He thought, I should be up there. I'm more beautiful than these little children in the garden. I should be up there. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend. But he was not created in the image. Only we were. Only Adam and Eve was. And then Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. And why was he made a little lower? So that he could die. As a son of God, he could not die. The Bible said that he said, into thy hands, and then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He chose the time of his departure. You can see that. Many times he said to people, don't say nothing. Don't tell them who I am. His time of departure was planned. Everything was worked out to the second. He was made a little lower than the angels, just like Adam and Eve were, so that they could... Why were they made lower than the angels? So they could die. Like I was talking Sunday, this body has to die. It's given over to the enemy. That's what Romans says, right? Can never be subject to the law of God. We're just tolerating it right now. You know, we are not perfect, but we're blameless. There's a difference. The covering makes us blameless. The Bible says we'll not impute sins. It's not that we don't sin, but God is not accounting for it because through faith in the shed blood we have a covering, and through the Holy Spirit we have a covering. So we are not perfect, but we are blameless. So Jesus allowed himself to die so he could give up the Spirit. He said, I'm going to send another comforter, but really not another. Lo, I am with you, but I'm going to be in you. Was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned now with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Once you're filled with the Spirit, you're not actually going to experience death. All you're going to experience is a change. We are not going to experience death anymore. Everyone up to the cross who died experienced death. They were delivered in the grave by the blood sacrifice. Their soul didn't die, but they were still not free. You know, in Hebrews tells us that. It says, all these died in hope, having not yet received the promise, so that they should not be made perfect before us. God lined it all up. When you see the plan of God, it's so beautiful, it's so exquisite, it's so real. So he came to die so that we could get the covering. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons. Because of his death now, he fulfilled that very first command, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and in bringing many sons. Where? Unto glory. The glory is what? The covering. The covering right now is veiled in this flesh. That's why you can't see it. Moses experienced a little bit of the covering, and that was just the reflection. He didn't have the covering. He was just in the presence. And when he came down, he had to wear a veil. Do you get it? Because they were scared of him. This flesh now is the veil. Jesus, for an instant, transfigured, and they saw the glory. Do you understand that we are going to have that glory revealed in us? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, it was shielded. But when he was going to the cross, he knew it was time now to reveal that. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. If you could stand with me. John 14:16, that's the chapter where he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to get you another house. I'm going to get you another covering. Because he told the serpent, dust thou art and dust you are going to get. And then to the man he says, this body is going to return to dust. That's all. The serpent really wanted to get the Adam son of God body. That was his plan. And so that's why God had to let it die. And in the atonement sacrifice ceremony, we see it acted out where the flesh, with all the sins, is sent to the one to whom it belongs, Azazel. And the other goat, which is the soul, is taken all the way in and given back to the one who gave it. Before it grows. That's why Paul says, I have to do what? Die daily. Or else this flesh wants to live. It wants to do its own thing because it wants to be contrary to the law of God. John 14:70, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's why it's so important to get back the covering. Yet a little while, that's what I was talking about, the light you can touch but not see. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and he in me, and I in you. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. In this same verse, chapter, it says he breathed on them prophetically and said, receive ye the Spirit. In his prayer then he says, the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. But we still have this other vessel, which is the final part of this puzzle. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And if children, then heirs, Romans 8:17. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. Remember, this is the only place Satan can really go to for any extended period of time. It's like radiation. If he goes anywhere else, he can't stay there very long. But if we suffer with him, that we may be also what? Let's say it together, glorified. Come on, if you believe it, that you're going to be glorified, say it. For I reckon that the sufferings that you're going through right now, whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're going through right now, it's not worth it. It will not compare with the glory, the Shekinah glory, which shall be revealed, guess where? In us. In us. When this, you see, we are going to be transfigured. That's what Jesus was saying. I've came to manifest thy name, to show what a son of God is. And what he revealed was just a foretaste, a sampling that is going to be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, to decay, to suffering, to pain, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same, in the hope that in the thousands of years of his plan, somebody would see his love, somebody would come to recognize and willingly give back the dominion and say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered. One day, deliverance is coming. Shall be delivered from this pain, from this suffering, from the situations, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's the promise. And if everything in the Bible that God has prophesied has come to pass, let there be no doubt, this is coming to pass. The reason why it's taken thousands of years, there's many reasons, but one of them is that we have to willingly come to God. He can't make us because he gave us dominion. We have to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, I submit my will to you. And when we do that, we'll be able to resist the devil because the covering will cover us. He shall give his angels charge over thee. God's protection will be upon us if we submit. I'm going to close. I will finish this series up next week. And the title of that one is, Who Told You You Were Naked? God didn't tell them they were naked. They were covered with his glory until they disobeyed. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord,